Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, we have some amazing tee times for you, and it is still gusting, folks. I've got the weather forecast for you coming up, but we're going to have some pretty strong winds. So once again, you're going to have to keep it low. You don't want to be up in the wind and watch that ball just go, go, go. That's not the time. Anyway, here we go. Volcano Golf Club. There's an 832, a 924, and a 1048 for you to choose from this morning. Makalei on the Big Island of Hawaii, 836, 948, 1010. City Boys, they're on the course. Speaking of on the course, Vets on Course. They're there. The Kauai Veterans Memorial Hospital Tournament is underway at Poipu Bay. Kauai Lagoons, there's a 9 o'clock and a 10:30. On Oahu, several, the executive women, they're back on the golf course, Perla Kalauau. There's an 8:30 if you'd like to go, 9:42, 10:48, Hawaii Kai, 8:52, 10:08, 11:30. Then we've got Turtle Bay, 8:48, 9:18, 11:03. The sand fleas are on that golf course. The people playing golf say they're the sand fleas. They're really, go. Play, no sand fleas. You won't get bit. Royal Hawaiian Golf Course, 8:30, 9:40, 10:50, and then Eva Beach Golf Course, 9:18, 10:32, 11:30, and Bayview has an 8:38, a 9:08, an 11 o'clock. Let's go to Maui. Yes, Maui Wailea Gold Course, 8:42, 9:56, 10:08, Emerald, 9 o'clock, 10:12. Blue Course, 9:50, 11:06. And then at Maui Nui, we have an 8:30, a 9:02, a 10:48, and the Lot Wizards. That's what they call themselves, okay? Lot Wizards, they're on the golf course. Weather now, mostly sunny today. High about 82. It will be breezy. East, northeasterlies, 15 to 22 miles per hour gusts. As high as 31. That's why I say keep it low. Don't let that ball go high. Saturday night, we're going to have some isolated showers after midnight, though. Partly cloudy, low about 74. Breezy. We're still with those winds, okay? 29 mile per hour winds, gusting possibly. And then Sunday rolls around with isolated showers before noon, mostly sunny skies, high about 82. Breezy, though. We still have the strong winds. Northeasterlies, east northeasterlies, 21 miles per hour, gusts as high as 29. So it's going to be a windy weekend, and you just want to keep it low and slow. Okay, I'll make it fast. All right, let's go. U.S. Women's Open. Jeff Shackelford is with us, author of 13 books. First off, he is renowned golf architecture expert. Jeff Shackelford has one book out called Grounds for Golf, first published back in 2003. It's since become a classic in the genre. And he's a prominent golf writer, author, golf course design consultant, known for his work with Golf Channel, Golf Digest, Golf Week. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff Shackelford.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. Wow, what a day. And where are you? Are you on course already at the U.S. Women's Open?
I'm sorry, I couldn't fully understand you. Yeah, I'm at, this is my home game. I think I heard U.S. Women's Open.
But yes.
Yeah, I'm here in L.A., and this is a home game for me this week.
Oh, fantastic. A home game. You can roll out of bed whatever time you need to be to get, hey, do you have to freeway drive to get there?
It's about 10 minutes, but I'll get through it.
I love this leaderboard. It's interesting. Okay, we're going to start off. Tied at the top, Allison Lee and running Yin at 4-under. Then we have this big group at T3, and it's Inji Chun, Hinako Shibuno, Hyuju Yu, Gabby Lopez, Siyoung Kim, Jennifer Kupcho. They're at 3-under, and Nelly Korda is tied for 9th. Now, somehow I thought she was in a better position. Can you give us some background on how they're doing?
Well, it's a typical U.S. Open. You have some big names. You have some people that are total shocks, really. I mean, Allison Lee's played 7 tournaments in the last 2 years and has a 13-month-old son, and it's just an amazing story. So it's just very normal at U.S. Men's or Women's Open to have just kind of a hodgepodge of things. You know, it's a long first 2 days, and we had some good afternoon wind yesterday, and it separated the field pretty well. But at the top, as you've just laid out, it's very bunched, and it's just a wide open affair going into the weekend. Or well, later today, we're playing very late today, finishing at 7 o'clock local time. So a lot of time for some of those people who are on the leaderboard who I don't know a thing about that probably will, this is their first big moment in a U.S. Women's Open. Maybe one of them will hang around to the end. That's happened before. But I got to tell you, Nelly Cordo, just watching her yesterday, she just really brought it back together the first round. She was struggling, and the ball striking was just weird, and she was getting annoyed with herself, and not excessively so, but she fixed it. Her sister gave her a little bit of a tip. She's sitting there on the range after the rounds, which is wild to see, very cool. And she struck her irons absolutely beautifully yesterday, which is what you have to do at Riviera. I mean, you have to drive it well, but you can get away with it a little bit. And she did enough, and she just played an incredible round. And I'll tell you, she was paired with Hannah Green of Australia, who absolutely did nothing, had nothing, and she's won over par. And so look out. I would not be shocked, because she's had a lot of success here in L.A. If she finds something, to watch somebody just that good have so little going with well, and to just hover around par is that always impresses me, and that always makes me suspicious. They may just throw out a 66 today or tomorrow and find it. So keep an eye on her.
Right on. Okay, USGA, known for making a mean layout. Have they?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. We got a rough line.
Okay, we must have. The USGA usually isn't, nice to the golfers during their major events. This would be one of it, the 81st U.S. Women's Open. Can you hear me now?
A little bit, yeah. And it is a typical USGA setup. I think I grasp that. It is tough, but the USGA, Danielle's changed a little bit in recent years. They are, they've had some high profile, for lack of a better word, screw ups, and so they, they just don't need to get carried away to have put forward a tough test of golf, and they've done that these first 2 days. While also trying to get a field of 156 players around, and there's some qualifiers who don't hit it as far as Hannah Green and Nelly Korda and Ronnie Ng. So it's a challenge, but they're still rough. It's tough. The greens are firm and fast. So they've found a good balance, and, of course, they have a big test coming up with Shinnecock where they've had a lot of trouble, and you have very long days, and the sun bakes out the greens, and it blows like crazy. Here on the west side of LA, you can control it a little better. We have a lot of morning marine layer, and we do get afternoon wind, but nothing like what they get at Shinnecock. So they've kept it under control, and I think you'll see some good scores today. They've got some holes. They've had some really hard hole locations the first 2 days. A few I wouldn't have used. I thought they're more like Sunday pins. But I think today you're going to see the 10th hole be drivable. And I just have a feeling you're going to see a few players separate themselves a little bit from that group. Jennifer Kupcho is another one to keep an eye on after her opening round.
Right on. Okay. I'm talking with Jeff Shackelford, author of 13 books, publisher, The Quadrilateral. Now, you just go and, put in his name, Jeff, and it's G-E-O-F-F, Shackelford, and you'll find him. And it's the information that he'll give you is so cool. For instance, the scoring averages, the weather, Good news, no thunderstorms. Bad news, Friday was the teaser for Saturday with conditions setting up for a full day of the marine layer across the area. According to on-site forecaster Brian Conrad, this extended cloud cover will do its best to limit our high to 67 degrees as enough sun streaks through the warm-up, warming us up overnight from the low that was 60 degrees, as those cooler temperatures will have winds down to 7 to 10. Now, we could deal with that. We're getting 25 at times here in Hawaii for those going out on the golf course. And so 7 to 10 mile an hour range, gusting into the mid-teens, though, at times. That must be nerve-wracking. You never know where the wind's going to blow. Has the weather been a factor at all?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, what it's so different than your winds, and that where Riviera is, it's 1.2 miles from the coast. And it's a heavy, heavy air. So yesterday evening, I mean, it was surprisingly cool out there and they were playing late. And so, it's definitely been a factor. And the trick here is the direction is always generally the same, but it's just a matter of when the marine layer lifts or not at all. And so it's just not as big of a deal here as, say, Olympic Club, where they've also had some trouble on long days and greens baking out and all that. So it's very manageable here, but it is something that, and the women put in a lot of time getting ready early in the week. So I think they're prepared, but as somebody who's lived here my whole life, it still just shocks you when you see, what those numbers you read, 12 miles an hour, but it's a 3-club wind sometimes. Because the air is heavy and there's a canyon effect at Riviera. Uh-huh. And so you really, the players, it's not like they're like the men where they're sitting and waiting for the gust to die down. It's just a very steady sea breeze. And I think they've managed it really well so far.
I got to ask a question. And I wouldn't know this if it hadn't been for your writing, Jeff Shackelford. There is a player in the U.S. Women's Open, who was very pregnant, from what I could tell.
I couldn't understand the last part.
Darn it.
Say it again.
Yeah, very pregnant. One of our players, very pregnant. Very pregnant. She's
very pregnant. I got that. Yes. Yes. Sagstrom is 7 months in, and she missed a cut, but unbelievable that she made an effort to play and played well. I mean, she was. It's a very six overs, very admirable. Just missed the cut, and I can't fathom how she could do that. And Allison Lee, who just had a baby 13 months ago, had some funny quotes after the round about she just can't even imagine the things she's going through and with pregnancy, and then just trying to manage a golf course like Riviera and a city like Riviera. It's quite impressive what she did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I hope you can hear this, because what you wrote about Nelly Korda and her father, tell us about Dad being a little probably more nervous than Nelly was.
Yeah, I've never really seen Peter Korda in action. I mean, he's not a total basket case, but he's definitely amped up, and he gets up to the green in advance, and he's watching her very closely, and nothing psychotic or anything, but he's very locked in, while her mom is very relaxed and flip-flops and was pushing their grandchild around. And so you see where Nellie gets a little bit of both of her parents. She has a great calm about her, but she does have just enough of the right amount of fire and intensity. So she's very blessed to have, I think, those two sides, the best sides of her parents, and I'm guessing the real grace comes from her mom as well. She just carries herself so well, and compared to watching her a few years ago, she's really she hasn't lost the intensity, but she's slowed down. She was actually too fast as a player. She clearly could get easily annoyed by playing with a slow player, which on the LPGA Tour, unfortunately, there's quite a few who are very deliberate, and she's just in a place that's really amazing, that she concentrates, but she's also loves acknowledging the little girls who are out there. She'll sign autographs sometimes during the round, walking to a tee. She didn't yesterday, but I've seen her do that at the other majors. And, of course, that's a shock to people because the men always tell the little kids, oh, get me after the round, and, of course, they never do.
Right.
No, I shouldn't say never, but a lot of the time they hide. So she's just got everything going right now, and I really would be shocked if she doesn't emerge. But, you know, again, it's a U.S. Women's Open. It's tightly bunched. It's a USGA setup. She's one bad shot away from a double or a triple. And that's what makes the USGA championship so dramatic.
Yeah. Now, I've got to ask you about the LPGA versus the PGA Tour. Sometimes it feels like the LPGA needs to do something to speed things up on the women's side. So it's a little bit more dramatic. What do you think?
Yeah, they always have. But, I mean, Danielle, the men's game at Aronimink, the rounds, because it blew there. And the wind was really tough there because it was a little bit different each day. And the wind direction was made some of the holes really awkward. But still, it was a 5-hour and 45-minute round, which was about the same here for the afternoon rounds. The mornings were actually really good pace here, I thought, under 5.5, maybe even like 5:15. And I mean, the LPGA is policing, and they've been giving out some penalty strokes. And you don't really, you just see a few slow golfers, but it's hard to be too critical because you're looking at greens that are 13 on the stimp meter.
Whoa.
They're firm. You've got sea breeze to deal with that is, factoring into your shots. It's a heavier air than they probably play anywhere but maybe Pebble Beach a few years ago. So it's just the product of the modern game that a lot of it is green speeds and just players go through their routine and threesomes. I mean, they should be a good pace today, but it's still now 4 hours for a twosome. Whereas in a major 25 years ago, it was 3 hours and 15 minutes. So all these organizations are trying, but a lot of it is just a product of kind of the size of the venues and the ground. You know, it's things that are out of the player's power, I guess, is what I'm saying. And we've seen great pace here compared to the Genesis, the annual PGA Tour stop on the some holes that you normally back up because the players hit it so far. And those holes have flowed nicely, 10, 11, and 12. So that's the most positive thing I can say on the pace.
You're such a diplomat. This is Jeff.
I try.
Yes. Jeff Shackelford is author of 13 books. He's publisher of The Quadrilateral. How do we get to your quadrilateral?
Same advice you gave earlier. Just Google Jeff and golf, or try to spell quadrilateral. It's a Substack newsletter. If you're on Substack, it's easy to find there on their app, and it's free. And I cover the majors and the big cup events, and we've got the Curtis Cup here in LA next week as well. So I'm very excited. It's at Bel Air Country Club, so it should be a good event.
Oh, if you have time, I want you back on the show. but let me go backwards here. Golf course architecture and design, one of Jeff Shackelford's favorite things to do. Rustic Canyon Golf Course, co-architect with Gil Hands. The Los Angeles Country Club, consultant on the restoration of the North and the South courses. The Prairie Club, worked on the horse course with Hands and Jim Wagner. Harvard University, taught course restoration at the Graduate School of Design. 13 books, Jeff Shackelford. What would you recommend for someone who's kind of getting into the game or has been in the game, might need some help with the game?
Oh, well, that's a many layered question, but I mean, there's so many things that people can do in terms of just observing others. You know, the best way to get into the game is gradually with, you know, tagging along with some people, watching them play or watching them hit balls. And that's always my advice, is that's the best way to do it. You know, some people will apologize. They'll tell you, well, I've just started hitting balls, but I haven't played on a course yet, and I always say, well, that's perfectly fine. It's an intimidating sport, and there's nothing wrong with easing into it. And unfortunately, you know, in these big cities right now, golf's so popular, it's kind of hard to be a new golfer and go out there and learn the ugly way without feeling a little overwhelmed because the places are so busy. So that's a, but you know, we have so many other things now, Danielle, with launch monitors and indoor golf, Top Golf. So the great news is there's all these ways to kind of do what I just outlined that are almost accidental ways into the game. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the best way to get into golf.
Excellent. Jeff Shackelford, thank you so much for being inside
all
the
right,
clubhouse.
Danielle.
Aloha.
Thank you.
We'll be back after this. But first, I do want to make one final note. Madeline Sagstrom, she was 6 over. She'll miss the cut. But she earned plenty of admiration for playing 7 months pregnant. She said, I played my best, my last event, right when I was, I think 3 or 4 months. Co-leader Lee said, I don't know how it was for Madeline, but oh my God, I was throwing up almost every single day. I almost didn't even play Solheim Cup because I was so sick. I don't even want to think about it. You know, sometimes we have some difficulties on the golf course, depending on just how pregnant we are. We're going to come back after this. Eddie Lee is joining us. And after Eddie, we're going to have a young man, Jerry Ostry, good friend of Ben Hogan. We have all of this coming up after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
All righty. It's kind of stopped raining, right? It's still raining, but not as much as it was, like snow cone low. But for the moment, it has stopped raining. So to help you through the chaos, Aloha Powers After the Rain Sale features Honda generators, pumps and chainsaws, whackers, weed whackers, trimmers, and a whole lot more. 25% off. We've got service, parts, accessories for every rider. And from home to commercial sized, you mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. Yes, get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round. Or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And we're going to welcome him into the clubhouse, Eddie Lee, PGA, David Ledbetter Golf Academy, Hawalalai Golf Course, the Nicholas at Wailea Golf Club, Kihei, Hawaii. Welcome into the clubhouse, Eddie. Oh, dear. We may be having another one of those moments when someone can't hear me, so we're just going to test that system. Eddie Lee, PGA, of course, a three-time recipient of the Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year Award. So if you're looking for someone, you know, to teach you the game, as we were just talking about with Jeff Shackelford earlier, he'd be somebody to look up. But on all of our islands, there are great teachers for you to get into the game and do it in a very, like, improving your game, breaking 100, maybe breaking 90, breaking 80. Now, that's where it gets, you know, real tricky, and you've got to be very careful with your game so that you don't psych yourself out and make mistakes. I think that's one of the hardest things about golf, the brain factor. You know, the more we're talking about it right now, you know, then all of a sudden the strangest things go on stopping us. It's just, it's really weird. So in golf, taking more club. Yeah. Do we have Eddie Lee on?
Yes, hold on.
Okay, we've got Eddie Lee coming up. But in golf, have you ever heard the term taking more club or clubbing up? You're like, what is clubbing up? Well, it doesn't mean getting a bigger club than everybody else has. No, it means swapping the club you would normally use for one that hits the ball a further distance. For example, you replace a 7-iron with a 6-iron. That would be taking more club, okay? So we're going to talk with Eddie Lee about, like, the win factor. I think, I don't know, because I certainly don't know very much about the game of golf. But, yes, the win factor may mean you'll need to club up. We'll see. Welcome into the clubhouse, Eddie. Now, he still can't hear me. I'm really sorry about it. This is, I can't hear Eddie, and I guess Eddie can't hear me. Do you have him on the line?
He was on the line. He's on the line.
He's on the line now? Yeah. Oh, okay, so he's on the line now. And it's so strange that we're having these technical difficulties. So let's go back into clubbing up. And why is clubbing up a good idea? Well, strategy. You make distance adjustments. You need to club up or club down if you're playing into a headwind, or you're hitting uphill, or you're facing a shot that is slightly longer than your standard club's max range, you know? So you get to know your club. You know what this club can do. What is a 5 going to do for me? The 6, the 7. I always like the 7-iron. It just, it's kind of sweet. But, you know, you got to get into the 6 and the 5 because they're irons that make it a little bit easier for me to hit them. I'm very uncomfortable with the driver for some reason. I don't know. I don't really understand that. I need to go back and have a lesson again. Tom Watson, he through Golf Digest, got to mention where all this is coming from, overestimate selecting a longer club over a hazard gives you a margin of error if you don't hit your best. The average golfer is nervous, facing a carry over a hazard. Oh, dear, how do you take as much risk and fear out of the shot as possible? You see, you're not alone. The fear factor that I was talking about here earlier, it's definitely there, and it definitely does something to the thinking process. So I'm not sure. Do we have Eddie on the line? Eddie, are you there?
Danielle, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yay! Drum roll, please.
My goodness gracious. I've been going on about, you know, clubbing up and clubbing down and just trying to, you know, keep things interesting. Eddie Lee, PGA, David Ledbetter Golf Academy, Hawalalai Golf Course, the Nicholas Course?
Yep. It was at the Hualalai Nicholas course. I'm currently now at Maui Nui in Kihei, back home.
Right on. And that's nice. The drive is shorter. yes, absolutely. But you're a 3-time recipient of the Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year Award. I mentioned that earlier in the show. So we were talking a little bit about, I was thinking a little bit about talking about the basics about golf and getting comfortable on the golf course. But there's so much going on with junior golf right now. I think you're pretty much involved with junior golf. Can you tell us?
Yeah, you know, I'm lucky enough to have a child that's involved in junior golf. chaired a couple junior golf programs with the low section PGA committees. So I've been around it, not just from an instruction standpoint, but also from a parent. And it's a great thing right now. Just Jack, actually yesterday here in Maui, we had the Junior World Qualifier, IMG Qualifier. That was a 54-hole event. The first two days, we had the Aloha Section Junior Qualifier Championship, and that was a two-day event. So, you know, it's a good time to be a junior golfer right now with everything going on with technology and different programs for the kids.
Right on. And speaking of U.S. Kids Golf, Oahu Local Tour is kicking off its summer schedule tomorrow at the Royal Kunia Country Club. If your junior golfer misses the June 7th event, you know, that's right around the corner, tomorrow practically. Yes, if they miss it, late registration for the next local tournament at Eva Beach Golf Club, which will be on June 14th. So you can register that. I believe the registration starts on the 10th. So get involved. Why is golf so good for kids?
Well, you know, it teaches the core values of being honest and being on. You know, one thing about kids is being organized, you know, making their tee time, you know, being on time. That's a core value of golf also. It teaches them discipline. You know, I've been around golfers, not just all ages. I like to say from diapers to diapers, Danielle.
I love it.
From 2-year-olds to 92-year-olds. And the thing is that, you know, what I've learned is that if you, what golf teaches in general, not just in the age group, is those core values of being honest, staying on time, being organized, working hard, you know, things that's really just being a good person.
I love it. And exactly, you know, people who have listened to the show for any length of time know that Danielle is always going on about how cool it is to get your kids into, let's say, first tee, whatever it is, a junior golf program, because children learn from children. And, you know,
yeah.
And that's the cool part about it. It's not like you, the parent, are going, don't you do that, you know, Charlie, because blah, 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 blah. It's kids saying, hey, you know, stop talking. You're not supposed to talk right now. And they'll hear that. And they'll incorporate that because it's peer pressure, so to speak. I think it's one of the best parts about the game.
Absolutely. You know, you're talking about the first tee. You know, if I was to give a clear message today for some of the parents of golfers, there is a roadmap out there. There's a roadmap as far as, okay, is the jump too big? Is the jump too deep? Where do I start my child? I think the first tee is the first step. I think introduction, private lessons, or even clinic lessons in a group atmosphere, as you made reference to, is a great step for young kids. And there's the next level. And the next level could be a PGA Junior League or even in their island organization or association, such as Maui Junior Golf or Kauai Junior Golf or Oahu Junior Golf or Big Island Junior Golf. And then the next level, then you're the kids in high school golf. Next level, HSJGA, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. So there's many steps for the child instead of taking them on, just literally throw them out of the boat. No, you get them in those proper
yes.
procedures so they still have the confidence and you're keeping it fun. So when their time and when they decide, if they decide to take it competitively, then they're ready to do it instead of just, you know, getting out of the game.
Yeah. I love it. Exactly. And it's so much fun. One of the points that you brought up, I love this too. When mm-hmm. you don't play a lot of golf, you know, because I'm talking about this symbolic person I bringing to the table here. She doesn't play much golf, but somebody invites them to go out with the business group. You know, it's going to be one of those outings and you're like, oh my word, I should have taken a lesson or two. What do you suggest to people to get comfortable for business golf?
Ooh, if your company has a team building exercise, bring it to the HR person to do that. That'd be a great way to get out there. Obviously, maybe implement that with after hours, Pauhana, make it a fun environment to do that. Scramble golf, next step would be after you have confidence of being on the range or somewhat taken a scramble golf format where it's still fun, yet you're hitting your golf, everybody's hitting their golf ball, but moving along at a pretty good pace is probably the most popular event when it comes to company golf or that kind of golf. But I definitely have to say, just like the kids, start early, start with a group atmosphere, make it fun. And if the company can pay for it, great.
Yeah, that would. Yes, absolutely. Now let's go to the beginner. You know, you want to get ready for something like an outing. You've turned it down, and you realize that the people who go to these outings have a kind of a more comfortable feeling about them in the company itself. You know, they're working together. They've got. I'm not sure how to phrase this. They've got this camaraderie going on from being on the golf course together, and you're not in it. So how do you get into the game? How do you get started?
Wow.
Learning the basics, getting out to learn the game, taking a lesson with somebody to get comfortable.
Yes, I think partnership, you know, doing a partner, like a tandem lesson, probably a good thing. If it's executive women's, having a group of ladies, I think that's always probably the best. I mean, when I say private lessons, now you're getting a little bit more on the serious side when you're kind of renting or hiring your golf coach for the hour or whatever it is, one-on-one. You know, there's so many offers out there now. But I say probably the easiest way is to start in a group setting. That way it's fun and it moves pretty fast. The only thing is, if you start deciding if you like the game at that point, then you can get a little bit more serious and start going to privates. And, you know, it can be in person. Danielle, now we're doing virtual lessons.
Wow.
Basically, we're doing house calls like doctors.
Wow.
Now we're doing house calls now. It's, you know, virtual lesson and you know, in-person lesson, video. You can send me your swing, a 10-minute, 5-minute snippet of what you're doing, and I can give you a little bit of diagnostics on that side too. So. A lot of it's with technology. It's getting to another threshold of what we're doing with instruction. But to get back to your question, yeah, definitely a group lesson is probably the best way for not just adults but for kids.
There's less stress.
Yeah,
yeah, yes. I love it.
Absolutely.
I was looking up on Eddie Lee, PGA. This is who I'm talking with right now, Eddie Lee, and I was going online, and there was one place where you said improving your game, breaking 100, breaking 90, breaking 80, improving your short game, trying to make the high school golf team, preparing for tournament golf, or preparing to earn a college golf scholarship. Now, there's one, right? Where do you, I guess anybody can come to you and say, this is what I'd like to do. Eddie Lee, can you help me?
Yes, absolutely. You can go on the website and at Maui Nui, we have something called the DNA. It's called DNA. It's called Dunnui Academy. We have 5 awesome golf professionals that's on the website. And you can just go ahead and go through the website and go directly and ping the instructor. You'll see the bio, and then go ahead and ping them, then set up the lesson.
I love it. I'm so glad you brought up DNA, because I was reading on DNA, like the DNA Academy. How did you guys come to that?
Well, we were lucky enough a couple years ago here at Maui Nui and on Maui Kihei, that we had a top tracer range built, which is, I think, on Oahu is very similar to the one at Bayview.
Okay.
So top tracer, you get to see your numbers, you get to see your carry number and your analytics. And when we built that, when the company built that, then we implemented our golf coaching team around that. So really helps a shaded area. It's we have night events also. So when you talk about that, incentive groups at night, the team building. Yeah. We usually have that after Palhana, so they come down to the range, covered range, 26 stalls, and we do a lot of after-hours instruction, too.
Great. Oh, that's good. Oh, what do you think about having a beverageum, a beer, a shot of something when you're out on the golf course? Is that going to throw my game off?
You know, No, I mean, sometimes that liquid oil does help people calm down, right?
Right.
So whatever, you know, if they're doing that, I don't know if you're going to charge it by the shot, but if they're doing that and it settles down and they're still coherent, I'm sure that's fine.
Yay.
I'm sure that's good, Danielle.
There you go. Eddie Lee, PGA, how do we get in touch with you? What is there a number or a website? Tell us what the website is.
Well, actually, just directly to my email. It's Eddie Lee, PGA. Very simple.
Yeah.
At Eddie Lee at Gmail. EddieLeePGA@gmail.com.
EddieLeePGA@gmail.com. That's perfect. It's not complicated. And we can email you and find out when you have lessons available. And
Absolutely. Just email me. We can send a little description of what's going on, and I can definitely get back to you and set something up, or even just kind of maybe figure something out.
Fantastic.
In the initial contact.
Excellent. Thank you. You'll have to be on the show again, please.
Okay. Sorry it took a long time to dial in, Danielle.
Oh, don't even worry about it. We've been having phone issues all morning long, so
okay.
It's all good.
Don't worry.
Aloha, Eddie.
I'm sorry I had to. Okay, Daniel, we'll talk to you later. Aloha.
I want to mention before we go into our break, Hal Okita Tribute Tournament is on at the Lelehua Golf Course June 15th this year. So Hal Okita, if you knew Hal, you probably want to be there. It's the Hal Okita Tribute Tournament at Lelehua Golf Course. Give them a call. That's June 15th. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
We're standing by. We're waiting for Jerry Austrey, author of The Hogan Edge. Creator, he made the Eddy Strike putter, made by Jerry Austrey. Excuse me, that wasn't Eddy. That's Edge Strike. edge strike putter. I was just talking with, never mind, Golf Heritage Society member, I am too, and former Bronco baseball catcher. His name is Jerry Ostry. He wanted to go pro after graduating from Western Michigan College University. He wanted to either do that or become a manager of a manufacturing plant. If the first that didn't pan out. I love how he puts it all together. Coaching was also on his list, but it didn't pay much in the 60s. Let's bring him into the clubhouse. Welcome, Jerry Ostry. You can't hear me either. It's a really sad moment. Hello, Jerry? Jerry? Jerry can't hear me. Or I can't hear Jerry. One or the other. You know what I'll do? As while we're trying to figure out why we can't hear another person calling in, I'm going to give you some tee times, because of course you'd rather get out on the golf course and play around. Volcano on the Big Island. And you know, when that eruption is happening, you're right across the, it's like you're just like a stone's throw away. It's much farther than that. But the view is unbelievable. Volcano Golf Club has a 924 and a 1048. At Makalei, there's a 948 and a 1010. And the City Boys, they're on the golf course at some point today. They're on. Vets are on the course today at Poipu Bay. And that's the Kauai Veterans Memorial Hospital Tournament. That's happening there. So I don't have tee times at Poipu. We've also got tee times, though, at Kauai Lagoons on Kauai, 9 o'clock and 10:30. On Oahu, our tee times include Pearl at Kalaauau. That's 8:30 and 9:42 and 10:58. The Executive Women are on the golf course. And Hawaii Kai, 8:52, 10:08. And 11:30. And at 10, let's see now, Turtle Bay, there's an 8:48, a 9:18, 11:03. And this group calls them the Sand Fleas. Yes, the Sand Fleas are on the golf course. And Executive Women, City Boys, Sand Fleas, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Raw Hawaiian Golf Course or Country Club, 8:30, 9:40, 10:50. Eva Beach Golf Course, 9:18, 10:32, 11:30. And we've got tee times at Bayview, 8:38, 9:08, 11 o'clock. A little bit late for that 8:38, unless you're really close by in Kaneohe. And then let's go to Maui, and that's the Gold Course at Wailea with a 9:56 and a 10:08. Emerald Course had a 9 o'clock, I'm not sure if it's still available, and a 10:12. Blue Course has a 9:50 and an 11:06. And Maui Nui, where the lot lizards are on the golf course, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. There's an 8:30, a 9:02, and a 10:48. How do people come up with those? Those are names they make up for themselves. By the way, that's not me. Weather forecast for Saturday. Mostly sunny with a high near 82. And breezy. It's windy again. Has this year startled you as it has me for being as windy as it is for as long as it's been windy? It's kind of like those torrential rains we had that didn't let up. Well, they've let up somewhat, but they still come. It's not like the old days when spring and you reach that summer stage. Everything sort of got comfortable. Just the surf was up. So, you know, it's just been an interesting sort of year. Or two. So while we're waiting for Jerry Ostry, author of The Hogan Edge and creator of Edge Strike Putters, made by Jerry Ostry. He's a Golf Heritage Society member. Let me just wrap up really quickly that our wind is going to be blowing just about out of the east northeast, 15 to 22. That's something that hasn't stopped. That wind, as I mentioned, gusts as high as 31 miles per hour. So you want to keep that ball low. Don't let it get caught up in those winds, because your golf ball may be heavy, but the wind, it's strong. It's going to take you away. Jerry Ostry, I hear you in the background. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning. How are you?
I was afraid you couldn't hear me. This is Jerry Ostrey, author of The Hogan Edge, creator of Edge Strike Putters, made by Jerry Ostrey, Golf Heritage Society member, former Bronco baseball catcher. You want to go pro after graduating from Western Michigan University or become a manager of a manufacturing plant if the first didn't pan out? Well, you know, I just have to, I'm fine, by the way, but I love your life story. And then you became close friends with Ben Hogan. How did that happen?
Well, it's a long journey in my business career, but I worked in manufacturing most of my life. And back in 1984, I got a call from a gentleman that was working at Hogan because I was a manufacturing specialist and they were having problems making their production schedule selling their clubs. And they offered me a position to come down to be vice president of manufacturing for Ben Hogan Company in Fort Worth, Texas. And that's what started my journey.
That's amazing.
And so I arrived, he started his company in 1953. And as I studied after I left the company to put together a book, he started a company because he could make the best clubs. And so from 1953 to about 1984, they did nothing but make players' blades, and he started very modestly. And by 1984, the company was doing $50 million in revenue and couldn't ship the products they sold.
Wow. So wow.
I came down in about that time, which 1984, 1985, and you might remember competitive pressures and people trying to get into the market. Metal woods were introduced, cavity back cast clubs were introduced, graphite shafts were introduced, and Hogan made absolutely none of those problems. And to complicate the situation a little bit more, the following year, about 6 months, less than a year after I started, they were raided by a corporate raider that bought the company, and he didn't buy it to make it better. He bought it to sell it. And his nickname was Irwin the Liquidator. So before that next year was out in 85, they went through reorganizations, terminations, wage freeze, budget cuts, tried to break the union, and all of a sudden, December comes rolling around of the following year, so I'd been there maybe a year and 4 months. I met Mr. Hogan three times, one to shake his hand and two other times because we had a quality problem in the factory. And they called me in and say, we just fired the president. I was at a hotel, and would you like the job? Well, sure. And they said, now, the president doesn't know, but when he comes in, we're going to fire them, and we want you to tell Mr. Hogan. Now, you can imagine how I'm trembling. I've not had more than 3 minutes of conversation with him in 18 months, and all the rumors about his personality and how gruff he is, and I'm going to walk in there as a young squirt to tell him I'm now the president of his company.
How did that go?
He was very gracious, and I informed him that we were in trouble. I thought being honest with him is the best approach because he's the only friend I had as everybody was leaving the sinking ship. I said, we need to work together and figure out what we can do to turn the company around. And he said, well, just keep me informed. I said, well, I'd like to meet with you every morning. We'll share what's going on. I'll share my information. You can fill me in on the history, and maybe we can put this thing together or we can turn it around and get it back in the red. And he was very receptive to that. Now, if you knew Mr. Hogan, he was a man of few words. If you'd say something to him, there normally was a 15 or 20 second silence. while he was developing a response. So it became very, I learned very quickly, is if I was going to present him with something, I needed to have it all buttoned up, because the only answer I was going to get is yes or no.
Yeah.
No discussion, no collaboration. So I explained to him what the Minstar was doing and the wage freezes and executive manage was cut. And so we started talking and asking questions to find out, okay, what could we do? And we put together about 18 questions talking to everybody, because my background, as you read a little bit of it, I had no exposure to marketing whatsoever. I'd been in manufacturing and working with engineering all my life. So I had to find out what people thought the problem was. And we talked to our customers, we talked to golf pros, we talked to the magazine people, and one thing stood out. Every place that I would go, now, you understand, by 1985, Hogan was out of the golf limelight for over 30 years.
That's,
and
yeah.
Every place that I went at the pro shops, we had the best staff in the world playing clubs on tour. We were one of the leading manufacturers of top-grade clubs. And the first question out of their mouth was, how's Mr. Hogan?
Oh.
What's he doing? Is he a part of the company? Well, it became apparent to me, and that same allegiance, if you would, was with every one of the people in the factory, even though many of them had never met him, because he very seldom went out in the factory. And so I came to believe that the only way this thing was going to turn around is to get him involved and make him the face of the company again, and also present to him that the products we had, if we kept making those, we were going to go out of business.
Yeah.
And I was very, very concerned that you make a good player's blade and there's no good players, there's no reason for you to exist. So I would walk in with the cavity back cast club and sit down with him that Ping introduced, you may remember, in the 80s, and it took off. And there was one story, Mark Covecchio at Colonial Country Club hit a ping out of the rough, and Ken Venturi said, that ball will not stop on the green, and it did. And Ken just said, oh, my God, that's not the player, that's the club. Now, at that time, Hogan was making a radial club, which was a departure from good blades, and that was our answer to Ping, and Ping was outselling us 6-1. So I had to go into his office and brought the Ping with me, and I thought he was going to hit me. Do you see this club? He said, that's not a club. I said, well, that may be true. And I had the radio in my hands, and I said, you see this club? He said, yes. That club looks like family jewelry. That's a club. I said, yes, Ben, but this club is outselling that club by 6-1. And there was silence in the room. And I knew he was competitive. And I said, now, if we can't make a better cavity back club than Ping, I don't think we should be in the business. Do you agree? And then I waited. I thought, oh, my God, if he says, no, we're not going to do that, my journey is over very quickly. He mulled it over for a minute and said, yes, I think we should do that. And I almost jumped out of the chair, but then I stopped and said, I need you to participate with the design and field testing the club so that everybody in the factory knows this is something that you're standing behind, not something management's doing without your approval. Is that okay with you? And I almost jumped out of my chair when he said yes.
Right on.
And then what we did is put together a program to start the design of the cavity back forged. Now, a lot of people don't understand, nobody had ever done a forging in a cavity back at that time. all the cavity back game improvement clubs were cast. And one thing was true in the industry, forged feel felt better, and everybody perceived that to be an advantage, and a cast club could not present that to you because they were cast, not forged, blended metal. And so we pursued that route, and then the other thing we had to do was to introduce him back to the public. And we sat down and developed an ad campaign, which turned out to be the most awards the Tracy Locke ever won, where we took Mr. Hogan and we put his image and everything that we did with him in the ads of the products we were making, and we resurrected a story. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but when he started his company in 1953, he was still playing golf. And that year, he played in 6 tournaments and won 5. When he came back to the factory, he didn't like any of the product they were making. Wow. And he scrapped it all. And what? He lost his partner.
What didn't he like?
And that's when Marty Leonard, who is one of the famous backers of him here in Fort Worth, he started Colonial Country Club and he started Shady Oaks. He sponsored them to put him back on his feet and get rid of his partner and start making clubs. So one of the first ads we ran was showing all these clubs that were chopped up and thrown away before anybody saw it, reinforcing Hogan stands for quality.
Excellent.
And that just exploded in the marketplace. And then I asked Ben to do some interviews because all the pros wanted to talk to him, so it made sense that the golf professionals would want to talk to him. Now, while we were doing all of that, Minstar decided to bust the union. And that happened in about 1987, and I was getting death threats, and they threw a contract at them, cutting their wages for 40%, so we were dealing with that issue at the same time, and the only reason they were doing that is to get the company ready for sale. So all that's going on. And finally, we got the club done. It was an unbelievable success. And just before we were going to introduce it, they sold the company to Cosmo World. Now, when he bought the company, he actually got it for free because Irwin Jacobs rated AMF, and his nickname was Irwin the Liquidator. And he sold off all the companies and had Hogan, Head, and Tyrolia Ski Bindings left, and he packaged them together and sold them. So he sold Hogan for $53 million. And in the 2 or 3 years that I was running the company, they sold the company, they sold it for $53 million to Cosmo World 2 years after I was took over as president. And they came in, and it was obvious to me when they arrived, they didn't buy the company to run it. They were buying the company to use the Hogan name to buy Pebble Beach.
Oh, my.
And so we kept pursuing the edge, and it was introduced. It was a fabulous success. We were in all the magazines, and the revenue jumped from $50 million to over $95 million by 1989. And when Cosmo finished the purchase cycle, which was in 89, they let me go in 90. And then they did 2 or 3 things after that that destroyed the company, and within 3 years, they were bankrupt, and they were out of Fort Worth, Texas. And that's kind of the journey and the story the book's about, showing his impact and relationship with people and the factory and how to make things, and it's been doing pretty well. And I spoke to the Golf Society. I am doing presentations at Kiwanis clubs, Rotary clubs. I've got a presentation planned for Texas golf history. Amazon, it's rated 4.7, and I get some reviews from time to time, and I sent you one, and the one that really stands out to me, it brings back memories, guilt, and grief. And if I have a moment, I'd like to read it to you. It's two short paragraphs about this one review it got. It says, I had a seat watching a living American legend, a man who survived a near-fatal crash and built an empire on pure grit. He was treated as cheap marketing gimmick to grease an international real estate wheel, felt sacrilegious, Pebble Beach purchase. I was terminated. I was not able to go into the plant to say goodbye to Ben. Wrestling with the painful mix of anger, guilt, shame, and deep regret that I did not get to say goodbye to him before he died. Years later at the funeral, I was able to complete that mission.
That's beautiful. Just a second. KORLYNI, Honolulu. Jerry Ostry, author of The Hogan Edge and creator of Edge Strike Putters, made by Jerry Ostry. You gave us a time capsule that went from when the old days of doing business, when the corporate raiders started coming in and taking things all apart and going all the way through all of that. The turmoil must have been intense. And I really like what you wrote when you said, today, his advice to students, don't let anyone label you or dismiss what you can accomplish with hard work and perseverance. If you concentrate on the task you have in front of you, you will find, once you take the first step, the next steps get easier. Remember, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with your first step. That's wonderful, and I really thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. We learned a great deal from you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danielle. It's great to talk to you again.
And we'll talk again. Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Okay, so I'm looking out the window. I can't tell whether things on the windward side are completely different. As someone mentioned to me, it's still raining on the windward side. It may still be raining on the windward side, but it has stopped raining for the moment in Honolulu. And to help get you through the chaos, clean up the place a little bit maybe, Aloha Powers After the Rain Sale features Honda generators and pumps and chainsaws and whackers and trimmers and more. And it's all up to 25% off. We have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial sized. Mow it, blow it, bag it, and you know what? You're done. and your back doesn't hurt the way you may have remembered. So get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
All righty. Now, before Michael Patrick Shields joins us in the clubhouse to talk about all the different places and fabulous experiences he's had just in, the last 2 weeks. He's also just come back, I think, from Las Vegas. So he's going to talk about a place. Boy, the place is fancy. All beautiful. I know a lot of us go to Vegas, and you'll probably want to know more about this club. And speaking of clubs on a completely different level, we're going to talk about taking more club or clubbing up. Yes, it means swapping the club you would normally use for one that hits the ball a farther distance. For example, replacing a 7-iron with a 6-iron is taking more club, because the closer you get to a 1-iron, I don't know anyone who can hit a 1-iron, but yeah, a 1-iron is, you know, those are the farthest. You can hit the farthest with those. But the bottom line is, why? Well, distance adjustment. You need to club up if you're playing into a headwind, which a lot of us would be today if you're out on the golf course because the winds are still strong. Or if you're hitting uphill, so it doesn't have anything to do with the wind, right? But you're hitting uphill, you want to do that, okay? That's why you make these adjustments. Or you're facing a shot that is slightly longer than your standard club's max range. And amateurs often overestimate how far they hit the ball. So taking more club and swinging easier allows you to hit the ball a specific distance comfortably without minimizing the penalty for mishits, right? So understanding club numbers, the term can be confusing because the more refers to the distance, not the club's number, right? So more club, clubbing up, reaching for a lower numbered club. So it's backwards, isn't it, right? No, it's not. It's the way it is. So reaching for a lower numbered club or one with less loft, swapping an 8-iron for a 7-iron to hit the ball further, okay? Less club, clubbing down, reaching for a higher numbered club or one with more loft, swapping an 8-iron for a 9-iron, so to hit the ball shorter. Improve your own distance control. You might be interested in reading strategies on Golf Digest or reviewing golf compendium breakdown. So there's all so many places online where you can read up on all of this and find out, or get a lesson, you know, with a PGA in Hawaii on one of our beautiful islands. And then you just, you kind of get their input and feedback, and it's really great. And from Tom Watson through Golf Digest, overestimate selecting a longer club over a hazard gives you a margin for error if you don't hit your best. That's, you know, you just want to make sure How do you take as much risk and fear out of the shot as possible? You have to give yourself a margin for error. And this is from Tom Watson in Golf Digest. I'd say at least a 10% margin. If the shot is 150 yards, think of it as 165 and pick the club you normally would hit for a 165-yard shot. Maybe your usual 150-yard club is a 6-iron, but does it go 150 on average? Or is that your best shot? And does it carry 150 in the air? Which is what you really need to know when you judge distance and pick a club. So all of that is, you know, something to consider. If you're just getting into the game of golf, go take a lesson. It's really helpful. And the guys are so nice. So you really enjoy yourself. And speaking of enjoying ourselves, Michael Patrick Shields, our travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider, home-based Beverly Hills, is with us now. Michael Patrick, welcome into the clubhouse.
I don't know where to begin today, but I'm speaking to you this morning from the Polo Lounge at Beverly Hills Hotel, and it's a pretty swank spot, second only to Hawaii, of course.
Now, wait a minute. I want to know about the lady that has, is it Lisa, that has a fabulous club. I think it's in Las Vegas, and she was telling you to come and stay at her place. No?
Yeah, I'm heading over there later this week for the grand opening party of Vanderpump Hotel, which is part of the Caesars Empire. And those of you who know her Vanderpump restaurants and bars and Wolf restaurants are all part of Caesars too, but she's opening up an actual hotel, which is going to be a big bash on Thursday, and right across the street from Caesar's Palace, and there'll be a red carpet and all that stuff, and we're all looking forward to it, and that'll be the first time they've been in the hotel biz. So a lot of anticipation about this, and Caesar's has done it again. And while I'm there, I'm going to go have a look at something called Cloud Nine, since it's a golf show we're doing here right now, which is at Angel Park Golf Club, which is part of the Arcus Golf Group, and anyone can go play. It's open to the public. And it is 12 holes that are famous par 3 holes from all around the world. So if you wanted to play the 17th at TPC Sawgrass, or you wanted to play the postage stamp at Troon, you can do it. It's called Cloud 9, although it's 12, kind of like the Big Ten with 18 teams, because there were too many great par 3s to fit in there. So, you know, people who want to have a combined trip for golf and gaming and luxury dining and all that sort of thing, that's what I'm going to investigate this week.
Wow. Now, I understand, speaking of par 3s, I didn't realize that you get on the golf course, and you're getting on the golf course, or were, or are, I'm not sure if it's past tense or future tense, with Lisa's son, Max. You're going to go play?
Yeah, I played a lot of, played exclusively par 3 golf with Max Vanderpump, and he is the son of Lisa, and we played in Los Angeles at Rancho Park and a couple of other places, Los Feliz, and I wrote a column about it at Go World Travel. If you go to goworldtravel.com and just Google my name and Max Vanderpump, you'll see a column about Vanderpump and golf, and it, so it all ties together. I'll get to see Max again. Hopefully we'll bring him over to Cloud Nine and renew hostility.
All right. Now, there's, you know, this huge event going on at Riviera Country Club, the U.S. Women's Open. And you're not too far. What's Riviera like?
Well, it's a historic event because it's the first time that Women's Open has ever been played at Riviera. And, you know, we go to the L.A. Open every year there. And there was one disruption last year where Riviera could not host the Women's Open because, the L.A. Open, which has a corporate name, but I like L.A. Open anyway. It's more fun because of the fires. So it's good to have everybody back. And Amy Alcott grew up on that golf course, and she used to sort of jump the fence and go out to the practice fairway and hit balls and practice. And she's been kind of the star of the show this week in the media, because she's been telling stories about Dean Martin was her first sponsor, and Jim Backus, who was on the Gilligan's Island, and Mr. Magoo was one of her sponsors. And she was asked, you know, what's different about the LPGA now than when you competed and played? And she said, well, now you have an LPGA player who has, you know, an energy drink sponsor and some kind of protein shake that they have in the morning. And they have their yoga instructor and their trainer that travels with them. And she said, that's what the LPGA is like now. She said, now look on the practice screen. You see that woman putting? And it was Joanne Carner. Uh-huh. And the reporter said, yeah. And she said, well, her breakfast was a banana and a cigarette. And in the, after the round, she liked to have a vodka. She said, that's the difference between the LPGA then and now.
That's true. And a cigarette.
Yeah.
She was amazing. I mean, she still is amazing, Joanne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fun to have that there. It's fun to have golf there. And it's a big week here, too, because once the golf clears the field, World Cup will be, we're one of the World Cup sites for soccer.
Wow.
You know, the beautiful sport, they call it, the beautiful game. And uh-huh. It's kind of funny because here in Los Angeles, we do have the U.S. team playing in the first round here. But some of the other teams are Iran, Bosnia, and Turkey.
Yes.
And Switzerland is here, too. Switzerland will mediate between all of them. I think that would be the good idea there.
Thank you. I'm so glad you said that because it's the first thing that came in my mind. Oh, the Swiss will be there? Everything's fine then.
That's right.
That's too good. Thank you. I'm such a good giggle. All right. Now, so let me see. I'm not sure if I've jumped ahead or if I missed something. So what's Angel Park like?
Well, Angel Park is the 36 holes where this Cloud 9 is in Las Vegas. And they've got Arnold Palmer Designs, and Bob Kupp did the par 3 for what it's worth. But when you're speaking about, you know, Bob Kupp and golf design and Arnold Palmer, of course, you think of Jack Nicklaus. And this week is the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village, the club that he founded where he lives. And, you know, half the year anyway in Dublin, Ohio. I think he's in Florida most of the time. But what he created there is really special, and the Memorial Tournament, I think it's almost 40 years old now for what it's worth, and one of the cool things that I witnessed covering that tournament is the on Wednesday, the Ohio State Marching Band comes up the 18th fairway.
Wow.
And, it's quite a sight because you just don't think of something like that, but it's Jack, of course, was a Buckeye, and I've had such a fun time with him about that, being from Michigan, and he was always a good sport, and I even got him to say go blue one time just for the fun of it. But apparently if you get to go to the Memorial or you get to go to Muirfield Village, the Buckeye milkshake is the thing that everybody wants to have when the tour comes through there. And I got to play there once, Danielle, and you know the thing that I remember most about it is that I think it might have been the fourth or fifth tee. I split my pants right down the back. And, you know, I was nervous enough as it is because we were playing with the assistant professional and the caddies and all that. And I'm like, dear God, I got to walk around now with my my rear end out in the wind. So I tied a wind shirt around my waist. It was just a disaster. It's a very tough course. And it's tough enough to play when your pants are not falling down your ankles.
You have some of the funniest stories. You have a book out. Tell us about your book and where we can find it.
A lot of these stories are in the latest book, which is called Travel Tattler.
Yes.
Less Than Torrid Tales.
Yes.
And another one is called Invite Yourself to the Party. And it encourages you to get yourself in the mix like this. And there's a big Hawaii story in that book, by the way. In fact, The last chapter is about the painted church on the Big Island of Hawaii and what a special place that was for me. And so, you know, there are lots of stories, too. I mean, the time that I got to meet the Prince Albert of Monaco, since the Monaco Grand Prix is on tomorrow morning, I think you have to watch in Hawaii if my fuzzy math works out at 1 a.m. But that's all right. Stay up late and watch the Monaco Grand Prix. And they just had the qualifying today. So Kim Antonelli, who drives for Mercedes from Italy, he's 19 years old. And if he wins the Monaco Grand Prix, one of the great events of the world, It'll be five straight Formula One wins for him, but he's going to have to hold off Max Verstappen, who's driving for Red Bull, and behind him, two Ferraris, Sir Lewis Hamilton, who's there with his date, Kim Kardashian, and Charles Leclerc. And Leclerc lives in Monaco, so he's a hometown favorite. So it'd be really fun. There'll be big personalities racing. And, you know, if you ever get to invite yourself to the party and go to some of these things, they're attainable. You know, you can get to see the Monaco Grand Prix. Now, I understand it will take a financial investment of some sort to travel to something like that.
No
but,
kidding.
You know, choose your battles.
A financial investment. Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Michael Patrick Shields, are you working on another book, like a new book, something?
I am. I'm working on two at the same time. In fact, when I go back to the table here at Polo Lounge, I'm going to keep writing one that I like to write in public places. And, Peter Sarsgaard, by the way, is two tables over from me this morning, for what it's worth.
Okay.
I'm working on two at the same time. And they both are, I shouldn't really say, but one of them has to do with the running of the bulls, which I did, and a twist on that. That's another world event you can go and do. And if you don't want to run, you can go and watch.
Yeah.
But hopefully these kinds of books like Travel Tattler or Invite Yourself to the Party inspire people to live their life, you know, and try to, you know, you'd rather have roses on your table than diamonds on your fingers is the way I look at it. And, you know, Hawaii is another bucket list, or we call it wander list because it's not as grim. But if you can get to Hawaii, you'll never forget it. And you get to live there.
You know, I do like what you just said. I mean, yeah, come to Hawaii. Bucket list is grim. Yes. Flowers on the table. I like that much, much better. Thank you very much.
We call it Virtuoso Travel calls it the wander list. And if you go to virtuoso.com, they'll help you put together any dream you might possibly have because they have access to everything. And in Las Vegas in August, I'll be back at the big Virtuoso Travel Week. And we'll talk about that again when the time comes. But you can go on there and they'll let you actually enter in your wander list so that, you know, you sort of commit to it a little bit, you know, in writing and say, yeah, I do want to run with the bulls, or I do want to go to the Monaco Grand Prix, or I do want to go to Hawaii and see Diamond Head and from Waikiki Beach and hope to run into Rick Gray somewhere in a bar. You know, that's the kind of thing people aspire to.
Yes, absolutely. Michael Patrick Shields, my travel guru extraordinaire, Hollywood insider based in Beverly Hills, but you never know where he's going to pop up in Monaco. Can you imagine living in Monaco and they're having the Grand Prix in your, you know, right on the street that you're not going anywhere, honey, you're staying home. You're watching it from a window.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
You're a prisoner to the race for sure. It's the second smallest country in the world to the Vatican.
Yes.
And it's like living in an amusement park is the way I can tell you when you go there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you as soon as possible.
Mahalo and aloha.
Aloha. And we want to thank the people who make this show possible. Oh, by the way, what is a good game plan for the 9-to-5 golfer? How to get the best out of your skills and talent? Leave your ego and testosterone in the parking lot. That's what one person suggests. Have fun. Have realistic expectations. All of those things, you know, very, very important, okay? Just think about that, all right? Have fun. That would be the operative word. Thank you. Welcome, Newtown Driving Range. You can warm up your round. You can wind down after work. Oh, so I should actually say you can warm up before your round at the Newtown Driving Range, which is a really good idea. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. And Aloha Power, work smarter, faster, easier with our Honda generators or water pumps, chainsaws, riding and walking mowers and whackers. Yes, get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment and a whole lot more. Open Monday through Saturday, Evie Lay, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. And the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It is the gift that lasts a lifetime, forever. For sale, it would be, Danielle's not reading well. For self, for health, for friendship and family, go golf. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at the Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui. He's coming to Oahu pretty soon. We're going to go out to dinner. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.